Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get two powerful booklets from Dr. Graham. But first, here's his message. Can you trust the Bible?
From time to time, we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ need to underscore and illuminate the very articles of faith, the very essentials that make us believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are skeptics in the world today and those who would put a question mark upon the Word of God, and we need to be ready always to give a defense for what we believe and why we believe what we believe. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, one of my favorite verses, and it is a verse which describes and defines the nature of Scripture, the very character of what the Scripture is. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. If you're a student of government, if you're a student of history, you know that the United States has a constitutional form of government. And the presupposition of our Constitution is this: the law is absolute. The law is absolute. And citizens were free and are free within that law to live in this land of privilege and opportunity. Now, just as the Constitution of the United States is the foundation upon which this society rests, in a much higher sense, in a more nobler sense, in an eternal sense, the Word of God, the Bible, is the constitution of the Christian faith. Just as the Constitution of this nation is absolute in its authority, the Bible, in a much more powerful and profound way, is absolute in its authority. As the Constitution of this nation is the highest law of mankind, the Bible is the highest law of God and therefore is the ultimate authority for all of life. It is the Bible, I might add, which has made America great. History records that this nation was founded upon the principles of Scripture. And even in spite of those Reconstructionists who want to rewrite and rework our history books, the fact remains that this nation was forged and formulated by those who believed this book, the Bible, to be the Word of God. The dynamic, profound influence of Scripture certainly affected and influenced the documents of the founding of this nation and the very warp and woof of this society. Our past presidents and world leaders, such as George Washington, for example, Washington, the father of our nation, said, "It is impossible to rightly govern without God and the Bible." And the Bible has profoundly influenced American education in its beginning and in its continuation, in its culture, our literature. There was a time in America when there was a consensus of morality that was given to us by the Judeo-Christian ethic found in the Bible, the Word of God. So now the question is being raised in our society, in our culture. Why the Bible? Why believe the Bible? Is the Bible the only word? Is the Bible a sure word? Well, the Scripture affirms in and of itself, yes, you can trust the Bible, you can believe the Bible. And certainly, while there are questions in the minds of skeptics and some who so call themselves scholars, there is no question in the Word of God as to the authority and the accuracy and the authenticity of the Bible. The Scripture says of itself, "Thy word, O Lord, is forever settled in heaven." The Bible is sufficient. The Bible is supernatural. Unfortunately, even some Christians have battled over the Bible. Many denominations have wrestled over the Word of God. And unfortunately, it's not so much an overt attack upon Scripture, but a subtle undermining of the Word of God in pulpits as well as in institutions of higher learning. And in fact, many Christians today don't live by the principles of the Bible. We sort of tuck our Bibles away in the pew or tuck them away in the bookstand when we get home from church, and we don't learn to think biblically. We don't learn to think scripturally. We don't see the scripture. So many don't see the scripture as all sufficient for all matters of life and practice and philosophy and direction and purpose and meaning for our daily lives. But I want to show you from the Word of God just how vital and how important the Scripture is and how all sufficient it is for your every need this day. Think with me for a moment about the definite purity of Scripture. Notice verse 16 in your Bibles. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Circle or underline that word, all Scripture. The Bible affirms of itself the law of the Lord is perfect unto the converting of the soul. And that word perfect means whole or complete or sufficient. All Scripture. The Bible is comprehensive in scope and supernatural in its origin. It is the complete and consummate Word of God. Proverbs 30 verse 5 says, every word of God is pure. The Bible is inerrant. It is infallible. It is without error or defilement. But when I read Paul and when I read Jesus and when I read the Scriptures, I don't read that the Bible contains the Word of God. I read all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That every word of God is pure. And therefore, I believe in the plenary verbal inspiration of the Scripture. Plenary meaning all, verbal meaning words. Plenary, all Scripture is equally inspired. Now, that does not mean that all Scripture is equally inspiring. For example, Leviticus may not be as inspiring to you as the Sermon on the Mount. But because of the inspiration of God, because of what the Bible is, Leviticus is just as much inspired as the Sermon on the Mount. What Paul is relating when he writes Scripture is just as inspired, just as important as what Jesus said, because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is plenary, equally inspired, and it is verbal inspiration, which means not just the ideas, not just the thoughts, but the very words of Scripture are breathed out by God. You see, there are some who say, well, the Bible is inspired as all great literature is inspired. There is a human inspiration, just as Shakespeare was inspired when he wrote that great literature, and when Plato gave us philosophy, and the great thinkers of all generations have written inspiring literature, so is the Bible inspired. Others would say, no, that's certainly, the Bible is more inspired than that, but the Bible is inspired in thought. God gave the idea, God gave the thought, and then the writers simply wrote down their own words. For example, God gave Paul the idea of love, and he said, write about love. And so Paul, in his own words, so they say, wrote down 1 Corinthians 13. And others believe in a kind of existential inspiration of Scripture. A goosebump theology, if you will. The Bible is inspired when it inspires you. You'll be reading along and the Bible's not inspired. You're just reading words on paper. And then maybe you come to John 3:16 and John 3:16 zaps you. And you get moved and you get inspired. You get motivated. That is the existential, mystical inspiration of Scripture that moves on you. But you see, the Bible claims for itself not some kind of a mystical existential experience of revelation or inspiration. It does not speak of a generalized, dynamic form of inspiration. It does not speak of moral inspiration of literature, but rather all Scripture is breathed out from the very heart and mind and mouth of God. Every word. Jesus said in Matthew 5:17, heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot or tittle shall pass away from my law. Now, a jot, a tittle in the Hebrew alphabet, we could compare it to a comma, a semicolon, or a period, or the dot of an I. Jesus said the slightest script in the Word of God, the jot, the tittle, is eternal. The Word of God. The flower fades and the grass withers, but the Word of our God shall stand forever. When the devil assailed our Lord and all the artillery of hell was unleashed against him in his earthly ministry, there in the temptation experience of the wilderness, three times the devil attacked Christ at the point of his own humanity, and every time Jesus came back with the Word of God, it is written, it is written, it is written. And in Matthew 4:4, our Lord, quoting the Scripture, says, man shall not live by bread alone, but Jesus said, by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So the definite purity of the Word of God.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and the message, Can You Trust the Bible? There are times in life when you hit a wall and cry out to God, where are you? Well, we want to help you hear heaven's answer by sending you Dr. Jack Graham's booklet, God's Promises for Doubt-Filled Days. This resource is our way to say thanks for your gift this month. But that's not all. When you call to give today, we'll also send you another encouraging booklet from Dr. Graham called New Life in Christ. So call now with your support and receive both God's Promises for Doubt-Filled Days and New Life in Christ. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Now let's get back to today's message. Can you trust the Bible?
Think for a few moments about the divine production of the Word of God. Notice again in verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, delivered by inspiration of God. It is a passive voice here. The subject is acted upon. God acts upon the Scripture and He inspires it. Now that word inspired literally means God breathed. The God breathed book. It did not originate with man, but with God. Now the Bible is a book indeed, but it is actually a library of 66 books. These powerful books in the Scripture were written over 1,400 years, a span of centuries, by over 40 different authors. And the authors of Scripture were from all kinds of backgrounds. Some were fishermen, others were doctors, some were preachers and prophets, others were priests, and some were farmers, and some were shepherds, and some were kings. But God brought together in this compilation of Scripture, all of His Word. And in the midst of all of that diversity, there is unity. In the midst of all of those sayings and sages of the past, there is supernatural quality. There is only one explanation. God took these human instruments and breathed through them, and beautiful melody and perfect harmony was expressed. Now, when God breathed the Scripture, He took these human instruments and He breathed through them. Sure, they had various backgrounds. Sure, they had different vocabularies. They spoke different languages. They came from different life experiences. But I believe God so prepared them. God so gave them their vocabularies. God so adjusted their attitudes that when they spoke, when they wrote, they gave us the very breathed out word of God. There was nothing added that should have been omitted, and there was nothing omitted that should have been added. It is the divine inspiration. And the number one authority on the nature of Scripture is without question the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus believed the Scriptures. He learned them as a child. He believed them throughout his life. Isn't it interesting? Some of the most, quote, questionable aspects of Scripture, Jesus dealt with them. For example, there's a big debate in theological circles as to who wrote the Pentateuch. Did Moses really write the Pentateuch? Well, Jesus tells us who wrote the first five books, who gave us the law, who gave us the creation account in Genesis and so forth. He tells us in John 7:19, did not Moses give you the law? He said in Luke 24:27, concerning Christ, beginning at Moses and the prophets, he explained to them in all the Scriptures those things concerning himself. There's no question about it. Jesus believed Moses gave us the Pentateuch. What about Adam and Eve? Some are saying, well, Adam and Eve, that's just allegorical. There was no certain man or single man or woman at the origins of mankind, at the origins of creation. What did Jesus believe about that? Well, Jesus said in Matthew 19:4, he who made them in the beginning made them male and female. Jesus believed in Adam and Eve. Jesus believed in the supernatural specific creation of an original man and an original woman. What about the worldwide flood? People have questioned, could there have been a flood? What about this story of Noah? Isn't that just a fable? Jesus didn't believe it was a fable. In Matthew 24:37, 38, and 39, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the coming of the Son of Man. He spoke of that flood that came and carried them all away. Jesus believed in the worldwide flood. He believed in Noah and the biblical account of what happened in ancient times. What about Jonah? People mock the story of Jonah, saying, oh, that must be fable, that a man could live in the belly of a fish for 3 days and 3 nights and then be delivered. What did Jesus believe about it? Matthew 12:40, Jesus said, just as Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights, so must the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and 3 nights. Jesus attached his own resurrection to the reality of Jonah and that great fish. Jesus believed the Bible. Now you've got a choice to make. Either there were errors in the Bible and Jesus didn't know it, and therefore he couldn't be the all-knowing, omniscient God, or else there were errors in the Bible, stories, fables, legends, and Jesus knew it and didn't bother to tell us. And in that case, Jesus would not be forthright and honest in his words towards us. Or else you can believe the Bible is the Word of God, truth, without any mixture of error, just as we'd see described in Scriptures. I take my stand with the Word of God and with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just going to believe the book like Jesus believed the book. And as one man, I think it was Vance Havner, said, he said, I'd rather trust a bunch of blind men with lanterns full of lightning bugs gone out to examine the sun than to trust some of these so-called scholars who are examining the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God, and the message is clear. It's all about Jesus Christ. In the law, he's the foundation of the law. We see in the history of the Old Testament, we see preparation for Christ. In the Psalms and writing, we see aspiration towards Christ. In the prophecies, we see expectation of Christ. In the Gospels, we see manifestation of Christ. In the Acts, we see the proclamation of Christ. In the epistles, we see the explanation of Christ. And in the book of Revelation, we see the consummation of Christ. It's all about Jesus. It's all about the cross. Now listen carefully. Just as we believe the Bible is truth without any mixture of error when it speaks concerning scientific truth, not scientific theory, but scientific truth, you can count on the fact that the Bible is accurate. However, the Bible is not given to us to tell us how the heavens go, but to tell us how to go to heaven. While the book is historically accurate, you can count on the history of the Bible, the historicity of Scripture, yet the Bible is not a book of history. It is his story. It is the story of salvation through Jesus Christ. Now, I must hurry and finish this message, but I want to talk about the dynamic prophet of the Bible. For Paul said, the Bible is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. For doctrine, that means teaching. And what is needed in the Church of Jesus Christ today is doctrinal truth. doctrinal teaching, not pop psychology, not spiritual cheerleading, but solid doctrinal truth, so that we can learn to think and act according to Scripture, not according to the latest whim, not our ears tickled with the latest idea, but the solid, pure Word of God. I'm thankful that my pastor long ago said, Jack, if you're not preaching doctrine, you're not preaching. We need the meat of the Word and to grow in doctrine. So many Christians are failing and struggling and hurting and experiencing needless pain simply because we're not grounded in the Word of God. And therefore, any wind that comes along blows us away. Doctrine. Then, for reproof, the Bible is like a hammer that breaks to pieces. It's like a sword that cuts. It's like a mirror that shows us the way we really are. Sometimes I read the Word of God, I get so reproved, I get sick looking at myself in the mirror of the Word of God, and I get convicted. You see, the Bible is to tell us what's right, that's doctrine, and the Bible is also to tell us what's not right, that's reproof. And I get convicted when I read the Word of God. The reason that many people don't read the Word of God or they don't believe the Word of God is because of their pride. They don't like the stabbing pain in the conscience that the Word of God sometimes delivers. But we need to know what's right and we need to know what's not right. We need to know what's truth and what's error. We need to be convicted of our sins. So the Bible confronts, it rebukes, it exposes error, it penetrates, it makes us come face to face with ourselves and face to face with a holy God. But it doesn't leave us there, for the Bible is for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction. That is, the Bible corrects us. It gets us on the right path again. It lifts us up. It gets us back in fellowship with God and restores our spiritual strength and lifts us up. So the Bible tells us what's right, that's doctrine. The Bible tells us what's not right, that's reproof. And then the Bible tells us how to get right, that's correction. And then the Bible tells us how to stay right. That's instruction in righteousness. So that we can be nourished and fully equipped for every good work. So that we can be trained and disciplined into spiritual maturity. So that we know what we believe and why we believe and who we are and what we do in Jesus Christ. And the Word of God is applicable and essential to your very life, for your every problem. Let me tell you something. Every problem you face, every human problem you face is answered in the Word of God. It is supernatural and it is sufficient. And the church that God chooses to bless is the church that unapologetically, completely pours forth the Word of God. Sir Walter Scott was dying. Standing by was one of his relatives, a nephew, I believe. And he said, "Would you bring me the book?" The young man standing by said, "Sir, you have many books in your library. Which book do you want me to bring?" And Scott replied, "Bring me the Word of God. Bring me the Bible, the only book for a dying man." Not only the only book for a dying man, but the only book for every living man, woman, boy, or girl on the face of this earth. It is the Word of God. Trust it, believe it, learn it, live it, obey it. It is God's Word. And it is God's Word that we learn how to be saved. How that Christ died on the cross for our sins. It's the Bible that tells us that Jesus paid the price and the penalty for our sins. That if we by faith will trust in Him, here's what the Scripture says. If we confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God has raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call upon His name according to God's holy word, and you will be saved and kept until the day Jesus comes again.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and the message, "Can you trust the Bible?" The Christian life isn't always easy, and we're never promised we won't face difficult days. But you can trust that Jesus is right there with you. He loves you more than you know, and He calls you to an abundant life in Him. Dr. Jack Graham wants to help you rest in these promises by sending you two of his booklets, God's Promises for Doubt-Filled Days and New Life in Christ. We'll send you both of these encouraging booklets as thanks for your support today. So call now and give to help share God's Word with people all over the world. And don't forget to request your copies of God's Promises for Doubt-Filled Days and New Life in Christ. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
Well, let me start by saying that while there are questions in the minds of skeptics, there's no question in the Word of God as to the authority, the accuracy, and the authenticity of the Bible. And one of the greatest proponents of this fact is the Bible itself. God tells us throughout His Word that the Scriptures are trustworthy and dependable. Psalm 119:89 says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens." And 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All Scripture is breathed out by God." So you see, the Bible is not a mystical, existential experience, but rather all Scripture is breathed out from the very heart, mind, and mouth of God, each and every word. The Bible does not originate with man, but with God. And when God breathed out the words of Scripture, He breathed them into human instruments. Nothing was added that should have been omitted, and nothing was omitted that should have been added. But don't just take my word for it. The number one authority on the Scripture is the Lord Jesus Himself. He learned the Scriptures as a child and believed them. In fact, we even see Jesus in Scripture referring to some of the very stories that some people struggle with most often. For example, in Matthew chapter 19, Jesus referred to the creation of Adam and Eve. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus referred to the account of Noah and the flood of chapter 12. Jesus spoke of Jonah in the belly of the fish. Not only did he believe the account, he attaches his own resurrection to the reality of Jonah. So you see, Jesus trusted the Scriptures. He believed them and spoke from them. And you can trust them too. The Bible is inerrant, it is infallible, it is sufficient, and it is supernatural. I urge you to settle this issue once and for all. Believe the Word of God as Jesus believed.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Remember, when you give a gift to PowerPoint, we'll send you Dr. Graham's booklets, God's Promises for Doubt-Filled Days, and New Life in Christ as our thank you. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131. And remember, PowerPoint is a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. Well, in the next PowerPoint, Dr. Graham brings a message about how you can stand firm on God's promises. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.